bugging you, Murphy?
Drugs. Drugs bug me.
In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century earth disease called hard drug abuse.
I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and beat about using it. So remember, don't. Or else.
Montucky Skies.
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brennan.
No Zach tonight. Sorry. No. Sorry, Zach. Zach friends. Big ol' Zach friends.
Big ol' Zach friends.
Yeah, sorry. He couldn't make it tonight. He had shit to do with the Loy.
He's been a busy, busy man.
So listen to the intro. I was wondering, what is your favorite thing that Mr. T ever did?
The A-Team.
Really? Dude. That was my first exposure to Mr. T for sure.
That's my childhood go-to, so I remember as a kid having a, for a very, very short period of time, having a Mr. T action figure. It really was a doll. And my dad wouldn't let me have it because it was a doll. So.
Really? I can't picture your dad being the type. He's like, no, my son ain't playing with a doll.
No, and that's like where I started out with Mr. T. And I really liked Mr. T. B.A. Baracus was the shit.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I was so into the A-Team that I, with all the toys, they had these sets where you could get fake jewelry with Mr. T's picture. And so I remember getting a couple, having like four necklaces on and like a ring. And they were all like plastic and being convinced that this like 6-year-old white boy was Mr. T. And I looked in the mirror, I was just like, hey, fool, I'm Mr. T. I was very proud of that.
One of the toys I had as a kid was the, I had the van, the black van with the red striped up the side. And you could take the top off and you could, you know, inside they had, you know, the five seats and they had like this command center in the back. The like top you take off, like gone to history. So I just had like a topless, topless van, but it was like my favorite toy, just being the bottom half.
You know, it's
like G.I. Joe spent a lot of time in the A-Team van.
Oh yeah, that was what was great about toys was you could use them for everything else. The one that I couldn't was, do you remember Mask?
Yes.
So I'm not talking about the Elephantitis movie right now. For anybody who's not familiar. There was a cartoon called Mask. And so basically, I can't even tell you exactly
what it was. I couldn't even tell you what the show was about, but the toys were great.
The toys had, they were really little, but they had masks that would like fit over them and you could switch them. And then they had vehicles that did various things. Like I remember I had the car where the doors would flip up much like the Back to the Future DeLorean. But it would then...
They had the Gulfwing doors.
Yeah, and it would fly, was like the thing in the cartoon. And so I remember I had that, but what frustrated me is no other toy would fit in there because the action figures were so tiny. They were really small action figures. They were like probably 1/2 inch tall.
Yeah, and especially when you're going like... The era you and I had like the little tiny G.I. Joes.
Yeah, which I... Okay, so here's the thing. I looked at the G.I. Joes that my dad grew up with, and they were cool, but they're basically dolls.
Yeah, the Barbie like size.
Yep.
G.I. Joe guys.
So then they remade them. That's where the term Kung Fu Action Grip came from, was those G.I. Joes, because they all had the arms that were like, looked like they had a masturbatory kind of pose, and you could flip all the guns from whichever one. Like, I didn't know which guns belonged to who. After a while, you would just switch them with all the characters.
Well, that and when I was growing up, my mom would buy, like, they had the action pack of the guns, which would be just a whole pack of just guns. Like,
what a childhood we had. Did you have a pet that ever chewed on the guns?
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't.
I didn't have a pet.
But I had
for
friends that would get upset because their guns would get eaten by a dog or something.
I had a brother probably ate all.
Yeah, your brother Brent.
Yeah, he I know, like, one of the things growing up that like pissed me off the most was we were living in this little apartment for a while, and he was playing with my Sergeant Slaughter. Like, that was my favorite guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing with that and lost him, like, under the sink in his apartment. Like, you could, like, put stuff in there, but it was never to be seen again.
Oh, now this is crazy. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like this, but when I was a kid, we lived in this town called Empire, and it's basically this little section of Coos Bay, which is technically its own town, but, and we had this apartment, and it was, so I can close my eyes and picture it right now. Like, there's a when you walk in, there's a living room and a staircase to the left, and then the living room opened up to a kitchen, and then like a backyard that was shared by many people, because it was basically like flats in England in a way. And then it would go upstairs, and we had two bedrooms, a bathroom, and then there was a bedroom that was locked. And I've been meaning to talk to my mom about this, because she always told us it was that we couldn't afford it. And now I'm trying to, have you ever seen that before, where they just lock off a room that you can't get into?
No, I have never seen that.
Yeah, now I was dead convinced forever that I just, you know, that was the case, that they couldn't afford it. But older, wiser Alex is starting to think, like, you know, like, well, okay, before wiser Alex, like Alex in his 20s, when he'd think back on it, would be like, well, maybe that room was basically like, it was some government thing that my mom was in on and getting like a break on the rent. And so if you couldn't pay for the room, they wouldn't give it to you. But then when I'm older, I'm like, that still doesn't really make sense. Like, why would they just lock off the room and not let... I think it was because my mom didn't want to have to clean up another room because we were so messy with our toys.
Now, I remember as a kid, there was like going to my grandparents' house and there was rooms you don't go in. Like, and for obvious reasons, like my uncle still lived at home. And so he had like Iron Maiden posters with the like creepy skeleton guy,
uh-huh,
like up on the wall. Like, I remember a few times like having to spend the night in that room and just like the freaking guys like up on the wall staring, because he has that like glowing red eyes.
Yeah. Because it's metal.
And that shit was terrifying.
Yeah. So the reason I bring up the room was because we would be playing with toys and occasionally something would slide under the door.
Oh, no.
And then it was just gone.
Yeah, now you would think, that toy doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, now you would think kids would be like, don't put anything near the crack of the door. But no, that thing became the abyss that you played with on the edge. You know what I mean? And then inevitably, like a micro machine or something would slide under the door and it was gone. You never saw it again.
Somebody moved in like 10 years later and there's like a bunch of micro machines all over the floor.
Yeah.
G.I. Legos.
Toys and Legos. Definitely Legos. No question about it. There is Legos littered across that floor. Oh, man. do you remember micro machines? So micro machines were basically Hot Wheels, but they were like 1/8 the size.
They were tiny, tiny little things. I had a couple of them because I really was into Hot Wheels, so I didn't have much for micro machines. I remember the micro machine guy. Oh, I had a little Lamborghini where the doors flipped open. Again, the Lamborghini doors. And right, they were like busted off like within a week.
Yeah. We were not easy on our toys.
No.
My dad used to nickname me Kid Destructo because I would destroy everything. And he got me this, and I remember this thing too. He got me this Tonka truck, which was like this big metal crane. And so what you don't understand about Tonka trucks when I was a kid, if you're younger and listen to this, was they were made of hard ass metal with sharp like edges. Like shit you could like murder another child with if you beat him over the head with it, you know? And apparently I destroyed that crane within a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then I remember later I got a dump truck, and I think that one made it for a while because I
think really the dump truck the dump is truck. Literally indestructible.
Yeah,
at my parents' house for the longest time, my Tonka truck dump truck was still in the backyard.
I remember seeing that Tonka truck, dude, because it brought back memories for me seeing them at your house.
And I had a current, well, it was like a crane digging sort of thing. And I had that one, and then I had a like a backhoe.
So part of the reason we're bringing this up in a way is because my stepdaughter is going into HMS, which Helena Middle School here at the time we're recording this. So a really weird thing occurred to me today. Like, I moved to Helena and started going to eighth grade at HMS, which is where I became friends with you. River is starting eighth grade here and like going to HMS. And I'm like, it's so weird. Like, I walk down the halls and like so much stuff is familiar. It's just a strange thing, but I was bringing up to her today, like, that we became friends. It's probably, like, halfway through the year, maybe.
Yeah, about then. But I was, because it was snowing, because I remember I was during one of the ski trips.
Yeah, yeah, and neither of us could ski.
Still can't very well.
A funny story with that. So my friend Sean Lambert, he was the only black kid in school. And he was my only friend at the time until I became friends with you. Like, I had other kids that I hung out with because we played basketball with them. But Sean was really the only friend. He was the only one that stuck.
Yeah.
You know, until he moved to North Carolina very quickly after the story. But we went on that ski trip. And I remember Sean wanted to do, like, he wanted to make videos and things. And so the instruct, like, all the school teachers, like, trusted him with one of the two cameras to film the ski trip. And so we sit down and they do the thing where they have everybody in our team. So there was like four classes in a team, right? It was like history, math, English, and social studies, right? And so they have the whole team like spread out between two classrooms, and they have two TVs playing simultaneously. They must have had a big ass like RCA cord connecting them or something. Like, somehow they were watching the feed at the exact same time. And so Sean goes to record it and he's just spinning in circles. And it's like so much worse than the Blair Witch Project was. Like, everybody was getting nauseous watching it. And I remember Sean started slinking down at his desk and Mr. Campbell came like running into the room. He's like, "Where's Sean? Where is he?" Sean was like hiding under his desk by that point.
Yeah, that was the day when they had the big video camera that had like the built-in grip that you had to like lug it over your shoulder.
Oh, it was big. Yeah. Do you remember when I got a video camera?
Pretty much the same model almost.
Yeah. So this was
the one that became your VCR for a number of years.
Yeah, pretty much. So we wound up, when I first got out of high school, I bought a video camera at the pawn shop. Now the drawback to this video camera was it always had to be plugged in because the battery was fucked. And I was in no position to find a battery to, like, fit this camera. I wouldn't have been able to afford it if I could have found it anyway.
This was pre-internet eBay days.
Yeah, but we used to have parties all the time. We'd just record everything. What a bad idea if you're a minor drinking to, like, take a video camera and record everything.
And there were some bad recordings that happened out of that.
There really was. I remember one time. So this one, so we worked at Burger King, full disclosure, at the time. And I remember recording this one party. And so what happened was all these people show up and me and Brandon, but before they show up, me and Brandon are waiting forever for everybody to show up. And whoever your girlfriend was at the time, was it Donna, you think?
Probably.
It's probably Donna. So it's like the three of us and somehow we managed to get a bottle of whiskey. Actually, I can tell you how. It was our friend Tom. We had a friend named Tom who, like, basically
the greasy tin friend named Tom would buy for minors.
Yep, but he wasn't that much older than us either. I mean, he was 2 years enough. Older than us. Yeah, so we hung out with him all the time because he could buy us booze. So the age where, like, you needed one 21-year-old to hang out with all the time, and so we got a bottle of Jack Daniels, and he didn't want any of it. And I remember you and me, like, we were just taking occasional shots. And then everybody started to pull up all at once. And we were like, fuck them, because they made us wait so long. So we just went back and forth with shots of whiskey until that bottle was gone.
Before I don't think we even like poured it. I think it was just pulls right out of the bottle.
Oh, my God. I blacked out. That was my first blackout I ever had. I probably had like two blackouts in my life. The second was my 20th birthday. So it would follow a few months later. But I totally blacked out. And so I wake up. And I'm like passed out on the couch and nobody's there. And there's like beer cans everywhere. And my camera is sitting like by the TV. And I'm like, huh, I wonder what happened last night. Cause I could not remember. I was so drunk. I realized like I was supposed to work at 6 in the morning. I was supposed to work 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I missed the entire shift. Like I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the evening. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, what the hell happened last night? I look at this camera, and so I plug in and start looking at it, and it was bad. Like, they started running it after we drank all the whiskey. And I think what happened was you went downstairs and passed out with Donna.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and I think, like, you just crashed in a bedroom, an extra bedroom or something downstairs, because we were in my grandma's house. And I pop in the videotape, and I look, and I'm like, fucked up. And you can tell I have the 1,000-yard stare the entire time. And I'm like, I want to fuck a swank. And everybody starts just laughing. Just
repeating
like,
nonsense.
I want to fuck a swank. I remember that.
She won't fuck a swank. Then I'll fuck a swank.
Ain't nobody here want to fuck a swank. But I'll fuck a swank. And like everybody's like, and then at a certain point, like the laughter stops.
Because it just keeps going.
Yep. And then my friend like is like, so, and I use friend loosely, my friend Dave Prody, like, he always drank tequila because he's too much of a pussy to drink beer. He used to make us get Zima, which is another funny story we could talk about in a minute. But so he has a bottle of tequila, and he's like, you want a shot? Because, you know, it's like, if you see a friend talking about fucking a thwank, the thing you want to do is feed him alcohol, right? So I take the tequila, and I start drinking, and I'm watching it like, no! Because I'm, like, so ill, and I'm, like, looking at me downing this. And he finally has to physically, like, pull it away from me. And then I just go absolutely insane at that point. I keep demanding more alcohol. Nobody will give it to me. And so Dave goes, if you drink this bottle, I'll give you more alcohol. And he hands me a salt shaker. And I just like pop off the thing in the salt shaker and I put it all in my mouth. Like just like it's a big bottle of salt too. And I put it all in my mouth and everybody's like, oh my God. And that's when you can tell the realization. Everybody's like, he's out of control. And then I get this sudden memory of yelling Dave Prody's the devil. I just get this vague, vague memory of yelling that. And then I see it happen. I kicked everybody out of my house except for like two people. One holding the camera and another was like a girl that I liked at the time. And I just kept yelling, don't let him back in. Dave Prody's the devil. And like kept yelling it over and over again. And I basically just fucked the party. Like everybody wound up leaving and... They just left the camera on me, so it's like me like looking fucked up trying to watch TV for like 10 minutes, and then I must have realized the camera was on and turned it off. But it was the hardest video I ever had to watch.
Oh,
binge drinking when you're 19, not a good idea, guys. I'm sure all the 19-year-olds are gonna do it anyway, but not a good idea,
man. So I found a like my new favorite drink, if it's made right.
What's that?
The Moscow Mule.
That's right. I saw a selfie you and your wife did drinking that.
And I've had it a few times. But
now it's your favorite?
If it's made right. I went down to Applebee's the other night.
Down to the Applebee's?
Down to the Applebee's. We were having dinner. I'm like, I'm going to have a whiskey. And they have a mule there. But there's a very distinct way to drink this drink. It has to be in a copper cup. If it's not in a copper cup, it tastes horrific. Like, it's so bitter, it's just not right.
Is this like a Butte drink? What is this?
You know, I don't know. I know, like, it's really popular in Butte.
Because for those not in the know, Butte is the copper king of the West. Like, they mine a lot of copper, or at least they used to.
They used to. They actually still mine some copper up there. But...
So, now what's in this drink?
It is vodka, ginger beer, and lime juice.
Weird.
And
I never would have thought to mix those three things.
And it's like, if you just mix those three in a glass... Not so good. But there's something about the copper that just, like, it mellows everything out and it just tastes good.
That's unusual.
It's
what's it called again?
The Moscow Mule.
Do you remember when we used to do Flaming Jesuses?
Oh, God. Sort of.
Same sort of parties I'm talking about. The Flaming Jesus was our infamous drink we used to do. So to pull this off properly, you need 150. You need a double shot glass. And this is just the way we made it. I don't know the proper way, but the best way it tasted was you would take a double shot glass, you'd fill it halfway with 151, then you would do a splash of vodka, a splash of lime juice, and then you'd fill the rest of it with grenadine. But I got that in reverse, the grenadine and the 151. You want the 151 on top.
Right.
Because the stuff stays separated, and so you light it on fire. And then you blow it out and drink it. And it was always so funny at parties because you could tell when somebody got too drunk because they would always... It's not that somebody would forget to blow out the flame, although that certainly
happened. It just doesn't realize it's completely out yet.
Yeah, you would always have that moment where somebody would go to blow it and it didn't go out. There'd be a little part of the flame that would stay and it would catch the whole thing. And then you'd swallow it and it felt like you were swallowing fire. Like, it was awful.
See, I always had the trick that worked well is taking the shot and then putting your hand over top of it so that it cuts off all the oxygen, kills the fire.
That's smart.
We you have to do stupid. It fast or else you burn the shit out of your hand.
Yeah, we were too stupid to know these tricks at the time.
Oh,
or did you know it?
I knew that one.
You withheld this from me for years. I probably have intestinal damage from this.
I'm sure I've got some scar tissue on my hand somewhere from it.
So I teased like some Zima stuff. I remember, so Dave Brody used to order Zimas all the time from whoever was the buyer. And usually it wasn't a problem. If you don't know, Zima is like this clear malt alcohol that's, it's
made by Coors.
Yeah, but I remember this one guy, Sean, who we used to play D&D with. Like, he went to buy us beers one time. He's like, what do you want? And we like, you know, said whatever. Like, probably an 18-pack of Mad Dog or something. Because Mad Dog was a beer.
Red Dog.
That was cheap. Oh, Red Dog. You're right. Not Mad Dog. Ugh. But I remember asking for that. And then, like, Dave was like, in a 6-pack of Zima. And he looked at him. He goes, I am not getting queer beer for you. It's like, I'm not okay with that as, you know, being a little bit older, but it was really funny at the time because Dave, he just would not drink beer.
Oh, you know, when I went off to college, I was the only one that would drink beer, like really? Out of all my friends, like nobody would drink beer. And of course, like beer is the one thing you can get any buyer to buy.
Now, I got to question that, though, because I learned how to use a beer bong in your dorm room. And I know at least Pierre was doing it, your roommate at the time. Maybe it was because it was bonging and they didn't have to taste it as much.
That was the reason behind it.
I remember I was nicknamed the Tequila Man for a while your year in the dorm. Because you only did 1 year in the dorms, right?
A year and a half.
Oh, a year and a half. Okay. But I remember I was nicknamed the Tequila Man because every time I came up, I'd bring a bottle of tequila.
Oh, man. You brought up the Flaming Jesus. We had a Flaming Jesus night at the dorms, and it was... Oh, I had 15 of those.
Oh, my God. Was that when you got your hair dyed green?
I fucking woke up, and my hair was like a greenish-orange. I'm like... And in the dorms, they had, like, you could be drunk off your ass. As long as they didn't see alcohol, like, you couldn't walk through the halls with a bottle of alcohol. You could be drunk stumbling through the dorms, and they really didn't care. Like, unless you were, like, harassing somebody. Like,
You know what I also remember about that time was that was right around when Chris Farley died. And so you came back and we're depressed. And all of a sudden, now we didn't have the internet, keep in mind. Well, I guess we did, but we just weren't smart enough to look at it. But we had suddenly heard a rumor that somebody else had died from SNL. I think maybe... Who the fuck was that? I want to say it was maybe Adam Sandler or Chris Rock. Like, one of those two. But I remember hearing that and just...
I feel like it was Adam Sandler.
I think it was. And just being depressed. Like, I can't believe both of them died. Because Adam Sandler wasn't terrible yet. And just, like, finding out, like, no, no, it was just Chris Farley. Which was depressing enough, but... you reminded me of something else with your dorm. So I remember coming with you the first time in the dorm rooms and everybody going like, yeah, we're going to go buy a beer. And I was like, so who's going to buy a beer? And they're like, no, no, no. We got a fake idea. I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, it's fine. Just come to the store and we'll go get some beer. And so for whatever reason, I think you're doing something with Donna or something. And because I remember me and Donna, like, we rolled up on a bus. We came up to a bus to visit you, which I always took the bus. I knew right where to walk to get to campus and everything. It's always the first thing I think when I take that exit in Bozeman. I always remember walking down that exit.
And that bus station doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't. I haven't seen it for a while, so that's a good call. But anyway, so I remember walking down to it and getting to your dorm room this one night. And like they were talking about the fake idea. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And Pierre's like, we're going to go get the fake ID. So we go see, I think it was an RA.
No.
Was it just somebody at the front desk? Like,
oh, no, he worked like, hit one of his like part-time jobs working the front desk.
Yeah. So we go up to him. Now, a little bit of backstory. The Montana ID at the time, they had just cut maybe 2 years earlier to the hologram, like the bear hologram on the ID, not as slick as it looks now, but it was there because it was harder to counterfeit at the time. But they had an old school ID and they cut out the picture of whoever was in it and then slit like a thing on the side of it so you could just slide your ID underneath and your picture would be on it. I remember looking at this and be like, this is never going to fucking work. Well, this is so fake.
And it was so bad. They had somebody like have their dog chew on it for a while.
It was so bad. And so like we go down to this corner store that's like right off of campus and we go, I mean, and we're getting beer, dude. Like it's not even a question what we're doing. Like, it's like a couple of cubes of beer. You know what I mean? It's probably around 96 beers that we buy, right? And I remember walking up like a respectable distance because I'm ready to run out the door. And Pierre puts up his ID with like his ID slid underneath this fake thing. Puts it up on the counter. The guy looks at it for 2 seconds. He literally says, good enough. And sells the beer. I'm like, really? That's awesome. I was so happy. And then we proceeded to go to Walmart and Pierre bought what was called an oil regulator. And so it was basically a beer bomb that Walmart sold. You just took out the filter. It had a little screen.
Like metal screen in there.
Yeah, a little metal screen in there that was a little too big to use for smoking pot. But, you know, he just took it out there and we bonged beers all night. What a great time. I'm surprised we survived it. I really am.
That was some rough times.
Yeah, so if my kids listen to this someday, just know that I still don't advocate you doing this. But it's because I survived it and it's not a good idea. But goddamn, it was some fun times, man.
Those were some crazy times.
Yeah, they really were. And Dave Brody, the aforementioned Zima guy, you could always tell when he was getting drunk because he'd always wear this hat and it would get lower and lower until you couldn't see his eyes anymore. And when you couldn't see his eyes, you knew he was fucked up.
The Brody meter.
And he used to drive his car like past 100 all the Jesus. Time. How many cars did he total when we used to hang out with him? I think it was three.
three sounds right.
And like two of them were really nice sports cars too.
Because he had the Porsche and he had the Mazda thing.
Yeah. And then he totaled them both. He sideswiped the semi and he walked away from everything fine.
I remember coming back from Missoula in the back of one of those. I think it was the Porsche. At about 110, 120 the entire way, just like, I'm going to fucking die. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm going to fucking die in the back of this fucking car.
Well, he had this one sports car that was a two-seater. And I remember leaving. We were in East Helena, probably doing D&D or something. I remember... like, there was one spot where you could get into the back window and curl up in a ball and ride back. And for some reason, I wound up getting that seat, and he's going 100 down the road. That was my moment where I'm like, yep, I'm going to die. Like, there's nothing I can do. Dave's driving, probably had a drink or two. Like, he's driving way too fast. I'm going to die. I didn't die. Spoiler. So we got football starting up soon.
Yeah.
What do you think of your team's chances? Your team looks pretty strong, dude.
They looked really good. They kind of had an off week against the Texans. I know, like, Peyton Manning he's had a really tough time this week. Like, he's spent so many years hating the Texans being in the same division. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they had, like, like both Houston and Denver practiced in Denver all week for, I don't know why. I know they've done this with a couple of teams throughout this preseason, which is like they had Oakland and Dallas were practicing together for a week.
Yeah, Baltimore and San Francisco were practicing together. That one made sense to me just because of the Harbaughs. But still, it's like there's a lot of people not happy with that Baltimore team. No.
And so it's been really like, there's been a lot of like pent up hatred. And actually Peyton Manning like threw this like 60-yard touchdown, like perfect touchdown during the game over the weekend. And afterwards, this guy had been like mouthing off, I can't think of his name, but he like ran up and like actually got flagged for taunting on that. I was like, really? It seemed out of character almost, but it's the same guy that knocked Wes Welker out of the game with a concussion. So,
oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's maybe it's just because the NFL is trying to drum up excitement in the preseason. You know what I mean? Because people are like me, are just like fuck the preseason.
Yeah, and I'm still pretty well on that fence, like. I kind of like because it just kind of gets things going, but it's like, I don't really care.
I understand the necessity of it, but yeah, I don't really give a shit.
It's one of those things I like the idea of, but like the other thing that like drives me insane is like they have like these weird, like we're going to play a game on Friday night at 3 o'clock in the morning on some channel nobody gets.
Are you talking about NFL channel?
Well, they have the NFL network, but then they have like, they just like locally air stuff. And
yeah, I don't think they're really playing at 3 in the morning, though. I think
no, I'm definitely exaggerating that. But it's like 10 o'clock at night, some of those games are. Like.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy late. So they're just putting them all over so that I think the hope is that people watch all, there's some diehard who's going to like watch every preseason game.
And there are, I don't like that because, you know, it's like pandering the few for the extra dollars and like stringing out everybody else because of it.
They have this sense, the owners have the sense of entitlement that they really feel like they should be getting every dollar that they get from regular season games, from every preseason game. And it's like, no, dude, you don't have the real product on and the field. And it doesn't count. Nobody's.
Even the regular season, like the Thursday night games, I really despise. I don't like the Thursday night games. They're usually shitty games. Like, and I mean, there are teams like, and most of the time it like works out where like the teams were battling hard Sunday night and then turn around 3 days of practice and then play on Thursday.
Well, it would make more sense. Like they used to start the Thursday games. like I think at Thanksgiving would be the first one, and then they'd run them for the rest of the year. And my contention was always that you just do it after a bye week so that the teams are fresh and they actually got to like study the other team and stuff. But they, no, they're just going for the greed now.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're doing the Thursday no matter what. But it is like way less quality in the games.
And the Thursday night people they've had in the past were so bad. John Gruden is terrible.
Oh, no. He does the Monday night games.
Is he do the Monday night? Who did the third? Like
it's Rich Eisen, and he's the only one I know off the top of my head. It used to be the guy who ran the Lions into the ground when they were 0-16.
Matt Millen?
Yeah, Matt Millen used to be one of the Thursday night guys. I don't hate the commentators for Thursday night football. I just it's bad because the players are too worn down. They say it like takes about 5 days before the players are healed up enough to really play a game. So they just come in there, they're all beat up. It's always like whoever has the better ground game always wins. And if they don't have a ground game, then it's like whoever's at home usually wins.
Yeah, and it's usually whoever really cares and needs it more. I mean, last year it was like the game I'm thinking of was the San Diego-Denver game. And it was like Denver played like New England on Sunday night, like the late Sunday night game.
Right.
And so, I mean, they came into that game just like no gas left in the tank. And so San Diego won. I think they were even at home. So, I mean, it's like there's nothing. Nobody's giving 100% on this game. And so, I mean, it's really not a good quality.
Yeah, I agree. They should do away with the Thursday night games. Or at least, like I said, do them after the byes, introduce them in the midseason. But I don't think the NFL is going to do it because all the silly bastards are still going to watch
They're like, oh, hey, we're still making money on this. Let's just do that.
I will say the one really good Thursday night game that I do remember, they had a week, and it was quite a few years ago before most people had NFL channel. But I was hanging out with a couple of friends, and I was house sitting for my dad. And they had it on satellite. And I remember like 10 people came over. And you were living in Bozeman at the time, yeah. So you weren't one of them. But 10 people came over and we went to watch the Packers and the Cowboys, which they were the number one and number two teams in the NFC. And I think they were both undefeated at the time. And so it was a really big game. And then Brett Favre got knocked out in the first series. And this dude steps in and just fucking knocks it out of the park. And that guy was Aaron Rodgers. It was his first NFL game that he played in. And he fucking was spectacular. I remember watching that. And the Packers narrowly lost, but it wasn't anything Aaron Rodgers did. Like,
no,
it was everything a quarterback could do. And I remember just being so impressed and being like, wow. And then the very next year was when Favre was doing his usual I'm retired, I'm not retired thing. And they're like, yeah, but now if you don't retire, you're with the Jets. Like, they traded him that year because I saw what Aaron Rodgers could do.
Was that with the Jets or the Vikings?
They traded him to the Jets. He finished out his last year with the Jets on his contract, and then he signed as a free agent with the Vikings for the rest of his career as sort of a revenge thing.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that game just being like, wow, Aaron Rodgers is going to be fucking good. So the next year, like, it was on the fence whether he'd be good. There's a lot of hype, but I remember sticking with him the whole year and just being like, this guy's going to be great. And he was injured for half the year because their offensive line was terrible. Then I think he might have won a Super Bowl the very next year. It was somewhere close to that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like his second season or...
As a starter?
Yeah,
I think so. Second or third. It's hard to... I don't remember for sure, but he'd been with the Packers for a couple of years, just riding the pine behind Aaron Rodgers, or behind Brett Favre. But that was one of those things, too. Like Brett Favre actually taught Aaron Rodgers quite a few things, and Aaron Rodgers actually like really respected Brett Favre. It was just everybody else was, you know, pine to make it, this guy versus this guy.
Yeah. So as far as the Broncos go, I am really excited for this season. Emmanuel Sanders looked like he's ready to play. The big wide receiver that they brought in after they lost Decker. their defense is where I've been really impressed. I mean, they've put some talent on that, and they're getting a lot of guys back. Von Miller played over the weekend. He tore his ACL week 16 last year.
And he was out for most of last year anyway, wasn't he?
A good portion of it. I know they had that six-game suspension to start off. That's right. And then he wasn't playing up to where he needed to be. And then he got injured, was off and on, and then he had that big injury week 16 going into the playoffs.
Well, hopefully he can keep it up for you guys.
And I was really impressed with watching him over the offseason because he really, like, focused on his conditioning. He dropped a bunch of weight because he had picked up, like, really, like, oh, I need to be the strong defensive back, need to bulk up, and it really lost a step in his quickness to the quarterback. And so he dropped a bunch of weight, and so he's gained a bunch of speed.
I'm not sure how to feel about my 49ers because, so their secondary, so this is the thing, everybody's saying their secondary took a step back, but I'm not so quick to say that because they've been really good about bringing guys up and knowing when they're ready. And so they got a new safety that they just, or they got Bethia in at safety instead of Whitner. Or Hittner. He changed his name to Hittner. They lost him to free agency. I don't think that's so much a big step down, but everybody's trying to make it out like it is. The cornerbacks I'm concerned about, but they're all guys that have been in the 49er organization for a while, so I'm kind of wondering if they are ready, and you know, it's just the press is overlooking it. Where I do worry is Aldon Smith's getting some sort of suspension, and nobody seems to know how much.
And they're really like hanging it out there like the Sword of Damascus. Like,
oh, I know, man.
Like, just drop the hammer already. Like, at least, like, give the team a chance to, like, this is what he's going to be out. Like,
it's the same build around it. It's the same with, like, Josh Morgan. They haven't said what's going to happen with him yet. And it's ridiculous. This stuff all happened a long time ago. There should be a ruling so that the teams can prepare. Plus, their nose tackle is injured. But I looked at the two guys who are there, and I'm like, you know, I'm not too worried about that.
So how do you feel about Bethea? I know he had the concussion last week. Is that going to be something that he's going
to... It's hard to say because you never know when they're going to clear him to play.
And I know I'm like the same way with Wes Welker. I mean, he's had three concussions in the last
9 months. Dude, since he joined the Broncos, right?
It's like the last half of last season, like he had two of them last season, had one this week, and so I
yeah, it's hard to say, man.
Like he's old, you know, late in his career.
Here's the thing with the 49ers that I am confident
even though
about.
Like concussions is not one of those things that like hurts you at any part of your career. Like concussions hurt.
Yeah, no, it fucks you later down the line, too. But the thing with the 49ers that I think a lot of commentators, like, after their Super Bowl run, they keep wanting to write them off all the time. And I'm like, you know, this team still might even win the division. Like, I do feel confident they're a playoff team. I just do. I have no doubt in my mind because they're so deep in so many positions. I don't.
And I think their offense is stepping up.
Oh, their offense looks good, I think.
If
I don't put any stock in the preseason whatsoever.
No.
But Carlos Hyde, like behind Frank Gore, their running game is going to be stronger than ever, I think. They got Stevie Johnson from the Bills, who's like got a competent quarterback throwing to him now. They got a healthy Michael Crabtree, and they still got Anquan Boldin, who came off like his two best seasons in a row. So like his last season was statistically his best season he's ever played. So I think their offense is going to really be running. The problem is going to be stopping the run a little bit, I think, because of at least at the beginning of the season, because of that Aldon Smith and Navarro Bowman being out for a couple of weeks too is going to affect them. But I think they're going to be playoff bound, and I think Seattle isn't going to be as good as everybody wants them to be.
I think they're going to take a step back. I know everybody is really riding high on them, but I don't see them being where
You know what?
Everybody's really like pushing him. I like every like ranking I've read for you know the preseasons have him number one, and
they always take the preseason seriously. So it's like nobody else is doing that, you know.
But they lost the Broncos.
Here's the thing with the Seahawks, though. They've lost a couple of key guys. But then on top of it, I look at who was Super Bowl champ last year. I mean, like the last season, not before the Seahawks.
Baltimore.
Nope. Oh, yeah, Baltimore. Did they make the playoffs?
Nope.
Did the Giants the year before make the playoffs?
Nope.
I'm not saying Seattle's going to miss the playoffs, but there seems to be a real eye of the tiger thing where they...
And it's one of those things where you win a championship, you get a fucking bullseye on your back. Everybody like you come up against, we want to beat the champions.
And I might add that Arizona beat them at home, which took out that aura of invincibility at home towards the end of the season last year. And the 49ers came within one play of beating them at home. So I think people are even going to look at Quest Field and be like, you know, we can win there too. If they could win, why can't we win?
Yeah. And I did say about the target on their back. And they lost 12 guys during the offseason like starters. That, yeah.
Now, here's the key thing for me. They just changed the rule. Like, they just said that they're not being tight enough on cornerbacks the way that they're defending receivers. And that they need to start calling pushing off and stuff. And like it was said directly, like in reference to something with Richard Sherman coming up. I mean,
and they have been throwing flags this year.
Yep. They're trying to set the tone that you can't get away with the stuff you got last year. So, and let's be honest, dude, the Seahawks cheated a lot with their cornerback. Like Richard Sherman and what's his face, their number two cornerback, like they push off a lot off of the line of scrimmage, like beyond the line of scrimmage, like when they're making
the 5 yards.
Yeah, like all over the field. So I don't think they're going to get away with that shit nearly as much as they did last year. And that's going to hamstring the Seahawks a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's all rosy for the Seahawks like people want to paint it out to be.
No. And I mean, it's weird, like, and listening or as far as like me just reading like some of the commentary, and they're just like, oh, these guys are going to be undefeated. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. So many people are trying to just build them up, but
they're like, you're going to be the first dynasty in 15 years.
No, they're not.
And I don't see it.
Nope. I don't think they are. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl this year.
I don't see it. Let me put it
that way. I don't think we're going to see our first back-to-back in a while. So I'm just going to put that flat out there. But we should probably go. We're running a little long in the tooth here. So take it easy.